So if I'm succeeding throughout the week, you guys are spending time reading the Gospels. And I don't really mind which one you read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But my goal on Sunday morning is to seduce you into them, to say things and point to things that when you set about your weekly tasks, you think, man, wouldn't it be great to hang out with Matthew for a while and just listen to him tell me the story of what was going on when Jesus walked the surface of the earth? Or wouldn't it be cool just to sit down with John and just listen to John tell me once again what Jesus said and the meaning behind that? Wouldn't it be cool just to hang out with Luke for 2 or 3 hours this week and just say, what do you remember? You did all this research about, you know, the Lord Jesus. What did you put together? And just listen to him tell that story. I never grow tired of it. I mean, I read these stories, these biographies every week, and every week I benefit from them. Today I would like to show you, I'd like to give you a tool to help you read them. One of the ways to read the Gospels is to pick a parable that Jesus lays out in front of you. Many of the parables, Jesus says something like this: the kingdom of God is like this. Well, the parable itself doesn't tell you a whole lot, unless you're willing to say, okay, I'm going to look at that parable, and now I'm going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and I'm going to look for what Jesus says in that parable. I'm going to just look in the story and see if I can find it. So, for example, today we're going to do that with the parable of the sower, but only we have to narrow it down. We don't have a whole lot of time, so we're only going to look at one particular aspect of the parable of the sower, and that's the seed that fell among the thorns and was therefore unfruitful. So, I mean, you've heard the parable before, but if you stop there and say, oh yeah, there's three different kinds of soil, da-da-da, you miss what the Gospels are saying. Then what you need to do is to read it and hear that Jesus said that, you know, the Word of God, it falls on some soil and it's choked out by the cares and the worries of this life, that the riches and the desire for other things. But now go and read the Gospel and look and see, do I see that? Can I see where it talks about the seed that falls on the among the thorns? And in particular, today we're going to focus on the idea that it's possible to hear the message. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is as close as it's at hand. It's just, you can reach out. It's that close. That's how close the kingdom of God is. That you can hear the message and you can get started on your way with it, Jesus says. But then, among other things, sometimes the cares and the worries of this life, they just sidetrack you, and you really don't get traction, and you don't bear fruit for the kingdom. That's what we're going to look at today. So the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries. We're going to try to look at the Gospels and wonder, what is this life's worries that he's talking about? Where does Jesus point to life's worries or the concerns of this life, and where does he contrast them with, hey, this is what you really ought to be concerned about instead? And as a result, they don't mature. Now, a lot of times we read this with just a matter of factness, some seed that falls among the thorns, it doesn't mature. When Jesus is laying this out there, this is a horrendous tragedy that they don't mature. This isn't just somebody who, oh yeah, I got sidetracked and didn't finish. This is someone who has been given a task by God, assigned a role in his kingdom, and they never carry that out. They don't mature. The fruit isn't there. At the end of the assignment, they don't get to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. The danger is they may hear instead, you wicked, lazy servant, why didn't you at least put my money on loan with the bankers, as in one of the parables? So, what I want to say right off the bat is this, that instead of the worries of life, and Jesus says that this is a real problem, is that you can be distracted by the worries of life. So instead of being distracted by the worries of life, we ought to fear being unfaithful. That ought to be something that we're worried about. That ought to be something we're afraid of. I'm going to look in a minute about what might be some of the things you are afraid of and some of the worries of life. But if you want to know what you ought to be concerned about or what you ought to be worried about or afraid of, this parable is saying that this is a real danger. that you hear the message of the kingdom of God. It's at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Enter into the kingdom. Live as one of his subjects in this kingdom. And you, as you get started with that, instead of staying on track, you get sidetracked. And in particular, that the cares and the worries of this life make you be unfruitful. And Jesus isn't just saying, oh, this is one of three options. This is a horrendous loss if we are not fruitful in God's kingdom. The message of the kingdom is this. The kingdom of God is at hand. Right here and right now, you and I have the opportunity to enter into it, to be a loyal subject, actually to be a child of God. God is willing to place his spirit within us, to move us, to keep his commands, to empower us, to function in his kingdom. And there are cares that are associated with the kingdom. These ought to just be front and center for us. We ought to say, hey, these are the big things in life. And Jesus is contrasting that with the fact that there are also cares of the world, that there are some things that the world just keeps screaming to you and sometimes whispering in your ear and just nagging you about, but they say, no, this is what you really need to be concerned about, the cares of the world rather than the cares of the kingdom. So what might be some of the cares of this life? As I read through the Gospels this week, I'm just going to give you some of the things that stood out to me as I tried to ask and answer that question. Where does Jesus point out the cares of this life, and how does he contrast them with, hey, here's something else that you really should be concerned about? One of the cares of this life is just death. And again, you will hear people screaming about the tragedy of death, whether it's from the coronavirus or whether it's from a tornado that came about or whether it's from the violent act of some evil men. Death is one of the big cares of this life. Another one of the cares of this life is the harm of evil men or disasters. So you could have some sexual predator or you could have a tornado, a disaster. These are the things that our world screams to you, care about this stuff. These are the things you need to be concerned about, worried about, fear, being ripped off. Somebody stealing your stuff. Somebody not treating you justly. Rejection. Yeah. Well, we certainly don't want to do anything that's going to cause us to be rejected by the world around us. And then also just failure. Just the fear that I'm not going to have enough. Whether it's I'm not going to have enough food, I'm not going to have enough to drink, I'm not going to have enough to wear, I'm not going to have a car to drive, I'm not going to have a house to live in, I'm not going to have a husband, I'm not going to have kids, I'm not going to have enough in life. I am not saying that these are not things that you should be, let me say this a different way, these are things to be concerned with. I'm not saying they're irrelevant, but Jesus does not put these at the top of your concern list. As a matter of fact, these are the things he said, they will distract you. If these are at the top of your list of your growing concerns, these are the things that you are most afraid of, these losses, then Jesus says, you're going to be distracted. There are other things that the Bible says that really should be at the top of our list. And one of those is this, just being disobedient to the king. If you are not concerned that it's possible for you to be disobedient to your king, you're off track. This ought to be a concern that is always in front of you. I'm not saying you live in fear of failure, but it ought to be something that you are afraid of. I do not want to disobey my king. That's at the top of my list. Here's another one, being ashamed of my king. I don't want to be in a situation where I would rather deny my king, the one who went to the cross for me, I would rather deny them than, you know, be rejected by those around me. It is a real danger. You ought to be afraid that someday you might be tempted to be ashamed of your king. And that ought to be something you say, man, I'm going to stay away from that. There are the traps of the enemy. A lot of his traps are kind of fun because we enjoy being tempted. But you ought to be afraid of the traps of the enemy. This is why Jesus says, pray, lead us not into temptation, because we're not good. When we walk into his traps, things usually don't end well for us. This is why at the very end of his ministry, he takes his disciples aside and says, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And the big loss that they were about to face was just that. They were going to be ashamed of their king, and they were going to deny him. Also, the other big concern ought to be this, that we have not completed the task that God has assigned to us. That he gives us a task and we get sidetracked. And we end up being like the very one that is described in the parable, somebody who has not produced the fruit of the kingdom that God intended. This is actually, you know, the world around us, they say the big things are death. The big things are the acts, evil acts of men, natural disasters. The big things are being ripped off. And what God does is he says, actually, let's take that list and we're going to turn it upside down. Those are actually closer to the bottom than to the top. The things that ought to be at the top of the list of the things you are afraid of ought to be this. You ought to fear the day that you would disobey your king. You ought to fear the day that you would be ashamed of him. You ought to fear the traps that your enemy sets you, because those are, they're traps. Real loss happens there. And you ought to fear the day that you fail to complete your assignment. So, let me give you a list of some of the things that Jesus points out that we ought to fear. Okay? So the first thing is this. Fear not being faithful. Fear the day that you are not productive for the kingdom. That is a huge loss. Second thing is this. If you're living a life of hypocrisy, you ought to fear exposure. You ought to. Matter of fact, you ought to fear it so much that you come clean now and you stay clean while you have a chance. Why should you fear exposure? Well, one of the very first prophecies ever spoken about the Lord Jesus was by Simeon in Luke. And he says this. He says, this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. If you think that you are just going to keep all your secrets away from God and everybody else, as the kingdom comes, I got to tell you this, your secrets get revealed to the world. Notice this. As the kingdoms come, things that are hidden, they become exposed. That's something you ought to be afraid of. If you got things hidden, you ought to be afraid that those things are going to come out. So Jesus says, come clean. Again, Jesus talks specifically to his disciples about this. He says this, be on your guard. This is something you ought to be afraid of. I'm paraphrasing it. This is something that is a real problem. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Well, why should I worry about my hypocrisy? What's the big deal about that? We're all a bunch of hypocrites, right? Well, Jesus says this is why. There is nothing concealed it won't be disclosed. You think you're hiding? It's just not going to stay hidden. And there's nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you've whispered, a little gossip, a little slander, what you've whispered in the ear in the inner room, that's going to be proclaimed from the rooftops. You know, I can't tell you how many conversations I have had that the Spirit has reminded me of this very thing. It is just as common as rain in the fire department to gossip and to slander. We just do that. We gossip and we slander, and we talk about people who are in authority over us. And as I have gotten pulled into that, the Spirit has said, Loy, guess what? If you say this, that is going to be proclaimed from the rooftops. If you think you can just sit around and gossip with Forrest about something that's going on, you know, authority over you, God says, I want you to know right now, your boss is going to hear what comes out of your mouth. I will see to it that if you are a part of this, that that will be exposed. I'm afraid of that day, which is one of the reasons I try to keep a really close rein on my tongue. How about you? You ought to be afraid. If you are living a life of hypocrisy, you should be afraid that God is going to expose you. Because that's just what he does. He brings things to light. Here's another one. You should fear the desire for approval that would lead you to deny your king. Some of us are more geared toward being people pleasers than others. Some of you, quite frankly, you don't care whether anybody's happy with you or not. You're just going to go through life doing what you think is right. A lot of the rest of us, we care a whole lot about what other people think of us. Well, in particular, us people pleasers, we need to fear that hunger for approval that would ever lead us to deny our king. Luke 12, Jesus continues along this line. He says this, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more." Remember I listed earlier the top things that we put on that list? Death is one of those. The world just says, that's it. That's the big thing to fear. And Jesus says, actually, let's lower that thing down a little bit. There's something else that you should be more afraid of than your body being put to death. What might that be? Well, I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. Yeah, I tell you, fear him. But are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And I want you to know that not one of those sparrows is forgotten by God. And if he doesn't forget the sparrows, you got to know that you are worth a whole lot more to him than sparrows. God's not going to forget you either. So when you are in the context where you are having to choose between either being loyal to your king or clinging to what little life you have left, Jesus says, be loyal to your king. Death is not the greatest concern. It really is not. Jesus says, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. This is what you ought to fear. But he who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. That's a day you don't want to stand. You want to stand on the day with your king, not slinking and ashamed because of your king. You see, Jesus is throwing out the big fears. Death. Well, there's something actually that you ought to fear more than death. Let's put this one up above that. Denying my king. I ought to fear that far more than I fear death. When you're brought before synagogue rulers and authorities, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourself or what you will say, because actually the Holy Spirit at that time is going to teach you what you're going to say. If God has brought you to that moment, you just got to know that God is going to provide for you and care for you in that moment, in your living or your dying. But don't in any way be disillusioned that somehow you've been abandoned by God. He's brought you there to speak for him, to represent the king in that context. Number four, instead of worrying about missing your fair share, instead of worrying about being ripped off, and it's amazing how much attention we get to make sure that we are not being ripped off. It's amazing how much effort we have when we put just to making sure that we get what we're due in our mind. Instead of worrying about that, there's something else that you should worry about, and that are the traps that the enemy has set for you. The story goes like this. Someone in the crowd, right after Jesus has talked about the need to stand faithful and represent him to the world around them, just right on the heels of that, somebody in the crowd speaks up and says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I'm being ripped off here. This is wrong. This is injustice. Make this thing right." And Jesus replied, "Man, who has appointed me a judge or an arbiter between the two? Who has? Have you? Has your brother?" Then he said to them this, "This is what you ought to be afraid of instead of being ripped off. This is what you should fear instead of not getting everything that's due you. You should be afraid that you walk into the trap of your enemy and your heart is filled with greed. If you're not afraid of that, well, that is a far more grave danger than being ripped off," Jesus says. Watch out. Be afraid of this. Be on your guard. Watch out. I mean, that's what he's saying. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. And if you think that it does, well, you just walked right into your enemy's trap. He continues. He told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Well, then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And then I'll say to myself this. I'll say, you have plenty of good things laid up for you for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be married. Welcome to retirement." And here's the thing. Jesus is not going to say that he's going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Man, you've done a great job of managing your money and your assets, and look what all you've got laid up for yourself." He's not going to say that. God says to him this, "You fool, you think you have been so wise, you think you have been so productive. Well, this very life, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" And Jesus says to us, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." You see, there is a real danger that you and I are going to be so concerned that we don't get ripped off, that we're not getting our fair share, that we're not keeping all of what we can keep, that we're not rich toward God. You ought to be afraid of the traps your enemy set, because those will be the traps that lead you to stand in the position at the end of an assignment, and instead of hearing, "Well done, Loy, my good and faithful servant," you hear your king say, "You fool, you have squandered what I've given you to do." Number five, rather than fearing hunger and nakedness, these are things that we fear, that we're just not going to have enough for ourselves, whether it's food to drink, clothes to wear, we're not going to have the house we want or the car we need or whatever it is. Rather than fearing not having enough, instead, you ought to be afraid of a blindness, a certain kind of a blindness that leads you to doubt your Father's care. You need to say, "Hey, look, that is a huge danger. And I need to be really cautious. Fear that blindness." Jesus describes it this way. He said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Jesus is not saying, "Don't worry, be happy." That's not what he's saying. He's saying, "Don't worry about your life," all right? Not just be happy. Why don't worry about your life? Why does Paul say, "Be anxious for nothing"? Well, this is why. He says this, because life is actually more important than food, and the body is more important than clothes. And guess what? God knows that you need those things. Jesus says, "Open your eyes." This is the blindness that you ought to be afraid of. He says, "Get the blinders off. Look at the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't have a chance to even do the work you have a chance to do. You have a strength and ability. You get to show up for work on Monday morning and, you know, join with God and providing for yourself and your family. They can't even do that. And yet, looks like God provides for them, doesn't it? And then you are much more valuable than those birds. And again, who of you by worrying could add a single hour to your life? You have all of this concern about, am I ever going to get enough? Am I going to end up in a situation where I don't have enough?" He says, you're going to actually produce something with that kind of a worry? No. Since you can't do that very little thing by adding an hour to your life, why do you worry about the rest of it? Again, the spiritual blinders, take them off, Jesus says. Consider how the wildflowers grow. They don't labor or spin. Once again, you actually have the ability to get up and go to work on Monday morning and join God as he is providing with you and your family. They can't even do that. And yet, look at that. He provides for them. In the season, you know, he says, not even Solomon in his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and you're here a lot longer than that, and you are more important than the grass of the field, how much more will he clothe you? You have little faith. You ought to be afraid of that blindness. Most of us would be horrified if we lost our sight, you know? This is the blindness that ought to horrify you. If you can't see that God can be trusted to provide for you, and therefore you are going to worry that you're not going to have enough, that even though you get up and you work with him, that it's not going to be adequate, then that blindness is something that you should be afraid of, that blindness, because it's going to lead you to doubt and actually just to, you'd be unable to enjoy your life with your king here and now. And do not set your hearts on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. People who don't know God, people who are unaware that God provides for his people, that's what they are worried about. They're worried that they're not going to get enough. They're worried that they're not going to have enough. And look at all of the evil things that they get involved in because they're worried about it. Some of them can rationalize killing somebody else to get at what they want. Others just rationalize stealing. Others rationalize just being greedy and hoarding. But look at all of the harmful, evil things that flow out of that blindness, Jesus says. The pagan world, they run after such things. But here's the thing. Why does Apostle Paul insist that you should be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayers and petitions make your requests be made known to God? Why does he say that? That's not just a formula for getting something. He says that because he knows that you need to know, the spiritual blinders have got to come off, and you need to know that your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and he is going to provide for you. He is. And you need to be afraid of that blindness that can't see that. You can't see that the ravens are provided for. You can't see that the lilies of the field are well-dressed. Well, here's something you ought to be afraid of, that blindness. Instead, he says, be concerned about something else. If you want to know something that you want to be afraid of, well, be concerned that God's kingdom is not going to come. Be concerned that you are going to miss your opportunities to be a part of that. Seek his kingdom first, and he's going to take care of you with those things. And now he turns the world upside down. He says, don't be afraid, little flock. We spent some time talking about this last week. God is entrusting his kingdom into your care. You're not just hanging out here until someday Jesus comes back. Right here and right now, God is putting his kingdom in your hands. You need to fear the day that you don't seek his kingdom. That needs to be a horrific thought. So he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Share what you've got. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Next week, we're going to look at the other part of this where it says, not but the cares of this life, but the riches of this life and the desire for pleasures, that they choke things out. So we'll kind of return to this idea then. But even here, this is all about the cares of this life. I'm worried that I'm not going to have enough. Huh. Trust God, Jesus says. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we're going to follow up that idea next week. Let's look at another one where Jesus says that things ought to be feared and other things should not be feared. Rather than fearing evil men and disasters, and this is just what the newspapers and the news and, you know, everybody just focuses on this. Jesus says, rather than fearing that, you should fear complete destruction. And you should quit the rebellion against God. You hear the announcement, the kingdom of God is at hand. Rather than being alarmed by all the things that the world says, this conspiracy here, this rumor of war there, this disease, as bad as that stuff is, what you ought to fear is complete destruction. You have got to leave the rebellion. Listen to the way Jesus describes it here. Now, there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. There were a group of Galileans. They traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover. While they were offering their sacrifice, Pilate thought that there was some kind of a rebellion going on, and he just sent his soldiers in, and he slaughtered these men, just slaughtered them all. Somebody mentions to Jesus about that. Hey, Jesus, you know, you're talking about bad things and, you know, stuff. Well, what about this? Well, Jesus says this. Do you think that those Galileans were any more sinners than any of the other Galileans because they suffered in that way? Is that what this is about? He says, not really. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. The message of the gospel is this: the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. If you're just going to be all alarmed about some political things that are real evils, I mean, Pilate did go in and just slaughter those guys, and there's all kinds of real evil in the world around you. But if you're going to be afraid of that, if that's what's going to cause alarm, you are missing the big alarm. The big alarm is this. Unless we quit our rebellion against God, all of us are going to be slaughtered and wiped out. That's what we ought to be afraid of. Again, or the 18 who died when the tower fell on them. Natural disaster. People were inside a building. Building collapsed, killed 23 people, killed 18 people in a tornado in, you know, Nashville. Ah, what a horrendous evil. Yeah, it's tragic. I mean, it's a real loss. Jesus isn't downplaying that. All he's saying is that on the list of things to fear, if you got the scale out there, that actually is not at the top. That's down several notches. Jesus says this, do you think they were any more guilty than all those other living in Jerusalem? Did God punish them in that way? He says, that's just not what was going on there. What you have to know is this, that unless you repent, you too are going to perish. That is the real danger. That's the real danger. You see one danger, there's another danger that's far more great looming on top of it. Quick little illustration of difference in perspectives of dangers. So last night, Katie texted me. She was on the highway between here and Charlotte. Her car was on the side of the road because she had had two series of flat tires. The first flat tire went, and then she put on the toy tire, and now that one's flat, and she's stuck beside the road. She says, is there anything you can do to help? And so I'm thinking, okay, I'll do whatever I can. When I finally get to her, and we assess the situation after everything is said and done, I had one fear out there. I know that one of the most dangerous places you can be is on the side of a highway with traffic. It was after dark, moving 70, 80, 90 miles an hour right beside you. That is the real danger, as I would assess that. Her danger, just she saw a very different one. She said, you know, I wonder if somebody might pull up behind me and kidnap me. And I'm thinking, well, that's a bad thing too. As far as the likelihood of that is really, really small in my perspective. I mean, I understand why she was afraid of that, I had a far greater concern than whether she was ever going to be kidnapped. I mean, I've just seen people wander in traffic and they just hit those cars and it's not good. Jesus is not saying that, hey, everything is fine, don't worry, be happy. Bad things are happening. But he's saying is this, the kingdom of God is at hand, and you have to recognize that now is the time to quit your rebellion against God. Because if you do not, it is not going to go well for anybody. It's not going to be any different between for you or those guys that were destroyed in the tower or that Pilate slaughtered. We all stand in the same, you know, position of rebel to the king, and we have got to quit that rebellion. That's the big danger. That's the thing we need to fear, is that we will be stood, we will be found standing in the rebellion and held account for that for God. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So remember our original story, the parable of the sower. The sower sows his seed, they hear the word of God, and guess what? As they get on their way, well, they get sidetracked by life's cares, life's anxieties, and they don't produce the fruit. That is not just a, oh, well, too bad. That is a horrendous evil. He says that a man planted a fig tree, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and again, no fruit. Cut it down. Why should I use up the soil for something that's not going to produce fruit? Well, the man who cares for the vineyard says this, sir, leave it alone for one more year. Let's give this fig tree a little more time. I'll dig around it. I'll get rid of all the weeds that are choking it out. I'll fertilize it. And we'll see if it bears fruit next year. If it does, great. This is what life is about, bearing the fruit of the kingdom. If not, cut it down. If you don't hear a warning in that, you are not listening to the Bible. You're just not. When Jesus says that it's possible to hear the message of the kingdom and to receive it, but as you get on your way, you're just sidetracked by the cares of this life, the riches of this life, the pleasures of this life, that's a real problem. So, an assessment. After you have bowed your knee to Jesus the King, have you found that he has taken your list of things that were the greatest concerns, and he's turned that upside down, and now there really are greater concerns, things that you are far more concerned about, far more afraid of, after you have bowed your knee to Jesus King than you would have ever been otherwise? That instead of being so concerned that you are not going to get your fair share or that you're being ripped off, actually, you're pretty concerned that you are going to try to help other people to get what they need. Well, that's a big difference, isn't it? You're horrified at the thought that somebody is going to have a need that you should meet, and you just let that slip through your fingers because you just weren't paying attention. That's not where you want to be, right? That's what I mean by, has Jesus turned your list of concerns upside down? The things that before you swore your allegiance to Jesus as King that were at the top of your list, have you found that really those things are still, I'm still afraid of those things. I'm afraid of all kinds of stuff. But I got to tell you, he is moving some things higher on that list, and he's demoting other things. If he hasn't, then the parable we started with and the one we ended with issues this warning. You are in grave danger of being unproductive, disobedient to your king, unfaithful to your king, if that list hasn't been modified. Because if it hasn't, you are going to be distracted by the same cares and anxieties that everybody else is screaming about, and you're going to allow those cares, those concerns, those anxieties to keep you from being faithful to what God has assigned you to do. If he has turned it upside down, well, now we're moving toward the good soil that bears fruit, produces a crop. 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. As the kingdom of God comes, this is the kind of stuff that happens. Your lists get turned upside down. It just happens in your life. It happens in Trisha's life, my life, Cindy's life, Ben's life. It happens in our lives. And if you want to see evidence of the kingdom of God coming, this is one of the places you look for that. You look for somebody who was once a thief and is stealing because they were concerned they weren't going to get their fair share. And now actually there's somebody, Paul says, who is contributing to the needs of others. He says, whoever has been stealing must stop stealing. Instead, work for your own bread so that you can provide for yourself and have some left over to share with others. That is, if you talk about, you haven't turned somebody's world upside down, that is turning somebody's world upside down. You look at somebody like Zacchaeus, who was a thief and stealing as a tax collector, and he stands up after hanging out with Jesus and he says, if I have stolen from anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times what I've stolen. Not only that, I'm going to give away half of my stuff to the poor. Your world will be turned upside down as the kingdom comes. It just will. All right, review. If you are living in rebellion to God, you need to fear destruction and you need to quit rebellion. You knew. Jesus says, unless you too repent, you will be destroyed. This is a big concern. Another thing, rather than fear that you won't have enough, how about this? Why don't you work with God and watch him provide? Why don't you trust the opportunities given you, work hard with him, and watch him provide? Just go in with eyes knowing that, hey, look, if he provides for the ravens, if he provides for the lilies of the field, I bet he's going to provide for me. I'm going to work with him, and I'm just going to watch him provide. what a huge difference that mentality is than, I just don't know whether I'm going to have enough. Rather than enjoying temptation, you need to recognize that temptation is a context of great danger. And that's true whether it's a sexual temptation, whether it's greed, whether it's bitterness, whether it's envy. You just need to recognize that when the enemy lays out his trap for you, that you walk really carefully around those things. It's like me when I'm working with my table saw. I have a blade that is spinning and I have all this noise going on, and my thumb did not go to a table saw, but I keep really close attention to these fingers. And a lot of times my hands are actually pretty close to that blade just because of what I have to do, but I am fully aware of the dangers that exist there. When I was helping Katie last night on the highway, I was very well aware of the dangers of that traffic that was blowing by me. Well, if I can see that as a danger, far more, I need to fear the traps that the enemy sets that are going to lead me to be unfaithful with the things that God has given me to do. And if I'm not afraid of that, Jesus would say, Lord, you're just not looking at reality. Those are real, real dangers. If you're living a life of hypocrisy, well, the kingdom is not the place for you. I just got to tell you that. Every year, there is a faithful parade of priests, of police, of preachers, of politicians, who their sins are continually laid out in front of everybody. Doctors, physicians, we'll add those to the list because of the Nassar issue. If you think that all that stuff, you have enough power, you have enough influence, you're crafty enough to keep that stuff hidden, I wouldn't be so confident about that. I would be afraid that this is all going to come out, and here and now, before it comes out, I'm going to get on track and I'm going to stay on track. I'm going to come clean, make right whatever I have to make right, but I am not going to continue in my rebellion. You and I, we need to be far more afraid of losing God's approval than losing man's approval. You do not want to stand before your king on the final day and Jesus say, look, you were ashamed of me before men. I never knew you. Instead of playing the game, ain't it awful? And we've talked about that a couple times. What you ought to do is celebrate the ways that God is turning the world upside down. And start with your own life. So look, let me tell you about the upside down stuff. These were the things that used to be my greatest concerns. And as I've come to know and walk with Jesus, those things are actually a little lower on the list. And now let me tell you what I am really concerned about. God's kingdom coming, and me being faithful to play the role that he has assigned to me to play. I want to hear, above all things, well done, my good and faithful servant, and not, you wicked, lazy servant, what did you do with what I gave you? Let's pray together. Father, the world screams in our ear. Be afraid of this. Be concerned about that. Here's something to be worried about. And yet you are saying that we need to be very careful. We need to tune down the screams of the world and instead listen to what the real dangers are. The danger that we might deny you, our King. The danger that in our passion to make sure that we get enough, we actually take from others and we miss our opportunities to contribute to others. Father, would you show us what we need to do to remove our spiritual blinders so that we can say with integrity that I know, Heavenly Father, that you know what I need. And so I ask for my daily needs. I ask that, you know, my daily bread. And just because I have asked, I know that you are going to provide. Because that's who you are. You are our provider. Holy Spirit, protect us from being unfruitful, disobedient, unfaithful to our King. Make it crystal clear what we need to do to be obedient and faithful. I ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.